made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Like I say, familiar words to many of us. And have I just gone off? No? Okay, still going. Okay. And familiar words. And we're going to look at both the man here and then separately the woman, and these two accounts of what's going on and healing. This account in Matthew, and the way he's recorded it, is kind of a summary version because it's also recorded by Mark and Luke in their Gospels, and they give us a bit more detail. So we kind of can bring that in to this passage. And the first thing is that we know that this guy's name is Jairus. It says that in the other accounts, and that he was a ruler. A ruler of what? He was a ruler of the synagogue. It tells us that in these other accounts. He was a man that would have been respected, would have had some authority. And he comes himself to Jesus. He could have sent a servant or somebody else to fetch him, but he comes himself. Jairus comes, ruler of the synagogue, to Jesus. And perhaps that's not a familiar start of a story that we're used to, because when we hear stories of rulers of synagogues or scribes or Pharisees, there's normally some kind of conflict that's going on. So perhaps we need to understand why it is that this guy, Jairus, was coming to Jesus. And it's because this story happens in Capernaum, which was kind of Jesus' home base during his years of ministry. It's where he lived. We know that from other chapters. And we even know that in this synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus actually preached there. He spoke there. So he would have been to that synagogue. He would have known Jairus. And it even tells us that he also cast out a demon from a man in that very synagogue as well. So there's kind of this relationship here. And when Jairus is at his very desperate point in his life, his desperate need, when his daughter is near death or has even actually died, who does he turn to but Jesus? He's seen him. He's heard him in the synagogue. He's heard him declaring the kingdom of God. He's seen him performing miracles. Why wouldn't you come to Jesus when you've seen him in that way? And how does he come to Jesus? Well, it tells us that he kneels before him. This man of authority who's respected himself comes to Jesus in all humility and just kneels before him. Kind of an act of worship, isn't it? He acknowledges who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, the one who can perform miracles. And he comes to him in this way before giving him his petition, before presenting his request to him. And he says, "My daughter has just died, but Jesus, if you come and lay your hand on her, she will live." He presents his request with such faith. She will live. Jesus, just a touch from you. Just come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So this guy, Jairus, coming in humility and in faith, presenting his request to Jesus. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus rose. He got up and followed Jairus. His disciples were there as well, and they went with him. Bit of a crowd starting off here. But when Jairus came to Jesus in humility and in faith, presented his request, then Jesus responded and said, "Yeah, of course, I'll come with you." And that's something that we've seen time and time again within the Gospels, that whenever people say, "Lord, if you are willing, if you do this, you know, then I'd be healed." And time again, Jesus says, "Of course, I am willing. Of course, I will do that for you." Because Jesus is a God of love. God of compassion. Doesn't want to see people suffer. Wants to see people healed and restored. And whenever we present our requests to him, he will say, yeah, of course, I am willing. So Jesus goes with Jairus, and they go off to their to Jairus' house. And if we just drop down to verse 23, when Jesus came to the ruler's house and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion. So he arrives at the house and all this stuff's going on. There's this commotion happening there. And we need to understand why that is happening. He even says that Jesus put them outside. So they're obviously in the house as well. So what's going on here? Well, Palestine, hot country, dead people going to decompose pretty quickly. So they have professional mourners that they can just call upon. Come and gather around with the family. Come and mourn. Come and grieve. And that's what's going on here, that these professional mourners, somebody else had obviously asked them to come. And there's these flute players and all this wailing and sorrow going on. And it's such a commotion, as it says here. And when that's happening, it's obviously hard for Jesus to enter in. All that going on, all this stuff in the house, he can't get to the girl who needs his touch. He can't get to Jairus' daughter. He can't enter in. And Jairus' response here, if we think about what he's done, perhaps we need just to think about that and how that perhaps applies to us sometimes in our own situations. When he was at his very desperate need and needed to come to Jesus, what did he do? He went off by himself, came with humility, came in faith, and he sought Jesus himself. Other people, well, there's all this commotion going on. They needed Jesus to turn up just as much as Jairus did. But there's all this commotion going on, and with all this commotion going on, it's hard for God to break in. It's hard for Jesus to enter in sometimes. Now, perhaps that's a good picture for us and a helpful picture for us. And I love what Jesus says to the crowd, and I trust that this is true because it's in my Bible. And he says to them, go away. Isn't that fantastic? I can just imagine that. Or you, clear off. Go away. Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed at him. And again, that should be such an encouragement for us. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, trying to get to someone, trying to pray with her, trying to reach out to her. And they laugh at Jesus when he says what's going on. And perhaps sometimes there's times in our own lives when we want to explain to other people what's going on, or reach out to them, or just share our testimony. And we say, well, I can't do that, because if I do that, then I'll be laughed at. Well, here's a great encouragement for us, that actually Jesus was laughed at as well. And, you know, it doesn't matter. We have to get over that, don't we? Because these things on this planet are only temporary. And it's what we do that has eternal consequences. Yeah? We want to stand one day in the throne room of heaven and have our Father say to us, well done. Okay, they laughed at you, but at least you had a go. At least you tried. At least you stepped out in faith. But well done anyway. If they laugh at Jesus, then guess what? People are going to laugh at us. And we've got to accept that and get over it and get on with it and get on with what Jesus has called us to do. And then he takes this crowd, these professional mourners, and he puts them outside, and he goes in. And then we have the great climax to this story, to this account, the triumphant ending of what's going on here. But there's no great fanfare, because he's got rid of all the musicians anyway. There's no great flashing lights. Just Jesus just comes quietly to this girl, wherever she is, goes to her, whether she's in her room or wherever she is, takes her by the hand. And just as he said, it was as if she was sleeping. She wasn't dead. It was as if she was sleeping, and she gets up. Jesus reached out to that girl, who by all accounts was dead, and gave her life. A girl, Jairus' daughter that day, just knew that just one touch of the king would change everything. Just one touch from the king would change everything. And Jairus' request had been fulfilled. Jairus had come and said, "Just would you come, Jesus? You're the only one. It's too late for the doctors." The doctors may have tried to have healed her when she was still alive, but it was too late now. She was dead. There's nothing more that can be done except only with you, God. Only with you, Jesus. And if you come, can you restore life again? So that's the first story in this passage, the story of Jairus and his daughter. And in the middle of it, we have this other story. Behold, a woman suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years and came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. When Jairus was coming to Jesus and presenting his request to Jesus on behalf of his daughter, here the woman, we don't know her name, she comes on her own behalf. She comes with her own request. See, it tells us in the other Gospels that the daughter was 12 years old. And here's this woman who'd actually had this disease, this issue, for 12 years. Where the daughter had lived for 12 years and then died, it's as if this woman had actually had no life for 12 years. She'd had this issue, this discharge of blood, which in those days would have made her ceremonially unclean. She would kind of been a bit of an outcast from society. It wouldn't have been socially acceptable. And in her despair and in her distress, she does the only thing that she can do. She's heard about this guy, Jesus. And, you know, the social culture of the day meant that she couldn't approach this man in the middle of a crowd and present her quest to him. That wasn't the done thing for women of the day. So she says, well, okay, perhaps if I can just touch the hem of his garment, just reach out and touch his cloak, then perhaps I'll get healed. So she does that. And the other Gospels tell us that before Jesus even turns and speaks to her and confronts her, that actually she was instantly healed just by touching his cloak. Again, she came in faith. She said, if only I could do this, I will be made well. Again, this woman with her own request coming, pushing through the crowd to get to Jesus and presenting her request with such faith. I will be made well if only I can reach out and touch him. And of course, she receives her physical healing there and then. She gets it. She gets what she had gone for, her physical healing. But that's not enough for Jesus. Jesus just feels, it tells us in Mark and Luke, that he feels the power kind of drain out of him, God's healing power, and he stops. He stops the crowd and he turns around, he finds the woman. Who was it? Ah, it was you. And he addresses her. She'd already got her physical healing, but Jesus knew that she needed more than that. Because she'd been this kind of bit of a social recluse, bit of an outcast, because she'd been ceremonially unclean. He knows that she needed restoring more than just physical healing. He was, well-being is a kind of a phrase that's used a lot these days in health, isn't it? And wholeness and complete healing and all those kind of terms. And Jesus got that. Body, mind, and spirit. And he turns and he addresses her with the kindness of a father. He calls her daughter. What that would have done for that lady who had been kind of outcast and socially not acceptable. And he calls a daughter, kind of acknowledging that she is accepted back into the family, part of the community once again, loved by God, perfect father. So he calls her daughter. And if that wasn't enough to kind of restore her confidence and emotions, he acknowledges that her faith has made her well, that her actions, that what she has done, Jesus is honoring her in the middle of this crowd. This guy, this prophet from Nazareth, acknowledging this woman, that what she has done, giving her honor, restoring her, building her up, healing her emotions, healing her spirit, giving her complete healing. That's what Jesus is doing here. Not just the physical touch that she'd already received. That day, Jairus' daughter received the touch from Jesus that she so desperately needed. And this woman now had also received the touch from Jesus that she so desperately needed. She thought she just needed a physical touch, but she needed this emotional, spiritual restoration as well. And we see this time and time again throughout the Bible, throughout the Gospels, just different accounts of people coming to Jesus saying, I just need a touch from you, Jesus. Would you bring healing? Yasmin, if we can have the next slide, please. We're just going to blast through a load of these scriptures. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I will be clean. Jesus said, if you will. The leper said, if you will. And Jesus said, I will. And with that one touch, he was clean. Next one, please, yes. For he had healed so many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. Perhaps this is what the lady had heard of, that, you know, there'd been a crowd gathering around Jesus, just reaching out, trying to touch him just to get healed, and receiving that touch from him. Next one, please, yes. And he could do, do you love this one? So he'd gone back to Nazareth, Jesus had gone back to Nazareth, and he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. Jesus, how we would settle for that this morning, wouldn't we? Jesus, this is the cry of our hearts. Please, would you reach out this morning on us here? Would you just lay your hands on people this morning and just heal a few sick people? Because we need to know your touch, Jesus. Next one, please, yes. Wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. Again, just reaching out and touching. And as many as touched it were made well, just looking for that touch of Jesus as well, reaching out and touching him. Next one, please, yes. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him, and his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Again, Jesus laying his hand on him, touching him, and healing came. Next, please, yes. Excellent. So this one, this scripture should again be another great encouragement to us. Some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, we perhaps don't need to do that unless you are convinced God is telling you to. Laid his hands on him. He asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. This guy had received partial healing. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, praise God, see you next week. He presses in. He presses in because Jesus is concerned about seeing complete healing and restoration. Last verse, then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus even had to kind of press in. Didn't happen first time. Healing didn't come first time. Jesus had to press in to see healing come, and we should do the same. Next one, please, yes. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died, another dead body, was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, do not weep. He come up and touched the bier. That's a coffin, if you got the NIV. And the bearers stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up, began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. see it time and time again, just not physical healing, but Jesus comes and brings life where there is none. He said about himself, I am the resurrection and the life. And we see numerous occasions, don't we, where he comes and just their body reaches out, touches them, and brings life. Give us that faith to see that happen, Lord. Next one, please, yes. And the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers have come to arrest him, and you would have thought that, you know, in that situation when all chaos is going on, that perhaps Jesus would just be concerned about himself and what's going on. And look what happens. One of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and he healed him. He took time out in the busyness of his own stuff that was going on and being arrested. He still, his compassion and his love for people was just still so evident that he stopped and found the time just to reach out to this servant and just to heal him. Is there any more? Yes. And again, just as the woman experienced kind of complete healing and wholeness, we see that again as well. This kind of passage alludes to this. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Transfiguration, top of the mountain stuff. A voice said from the cloud, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Their understanding would have been if they saw the face of God, they were going to die. And when you hear the voice of God loudly and audible, then it's like, oh, my life. You know, fear had gripped them. It's fear is an emotion, isn't it? And they were just terrified. But Jesus came and he touched them, laid hands on them again, saying, rise, have no fear. Kind of bringing comfort and restoration and healing from that fear, from that emotion to them. Thanks, yes. Excellent. So time and time again, as we see in this passage, Jesus just reaches out to people, lays hands on them, touches them, or they reach out and touch him, and healing comes. Healing comes. There's a flow of God's healing power when Jesus touches people. And how does this work? How does this happen? I'm like, Jesus even said it about himself in the account in Luke when he's stopping the crowd. He says, you know, I felt the power go out of me. There's a flow of healing power from Jesus. And what I think this kind of means is this, that Jesus, although he's the Son of God, he came to earth in the form of a man. He left aside everything of heaven, his power, his authority. He was still Jesus, Son of God, but he came as a man. And when he was baptized in the River Jordan at the beginning of his ministry by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit came on him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Came on him like a dove. And he needed to be filled. Because as a man, could he have actually achieved anything in his own power and his strength? Yes, he's still the Son of God, but he came as a man. But filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of like the power and the authority of heaven was restored to him, and he could then achieve these things, perform these miracles. The healing power of the throne room of heaven could just flow through him. That's why time and time again, he went up the mountain and sought God. God, what is your will? Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. We know, don't we, that it's not a one-time filling, but we're told to be continually filled. And I think that was the same for Jesus as well, which is why he used to escape and have his quiet time just in the presence of God. And that should be encouragement to us, because if Jesus needed to be filled, if he came as a man and was filled with the Holy Spirit, then as mankind, as men and women, we too, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, says we are filled. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had come as God with all the power of heaven and all the authority just as God, then actually we wouldn't have been able to achieve those things. It would have been unachievable for us. But when Jesus says to us, go and heal the sick, we can do that. How did he do it as a man? He did it because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. As men and women, how can we do that? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that time and time again we need to come back and just say, Jesus, fill us afresh by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are a temple. We are the dwelling place of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are in our lives. And we can't kind of go through this passage this morning without responding to it, can we? There are so many that need to know this touch from God, this healing power. That's why we're looking at it over these months and these weeks, because, you know, we're in faith. We come to Jesus in faith for his healing touch. We want to lay hands on the sick and see them healed and restored. I've never seen, and I don't know that I ever want to see, anybody having a heart attack. But when that happens, you've seen it in the movies, haven't you? When they get the defibrillator out and they put the paddles on the person and they charge up the machine, and that electric current jump starts the person back to life, jump starts their heart and gets them back to life. That's what happens, isn't it? Yes, thank you. Jesus has given each of us healing hands to jumpstart blind eyes back into life, deaf ears back into life. Whatever it is, he said, you know, the sick will be made well. Go and pray for the sick. He also said, be healed with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's called us to do. And we're just going to spend some time worshiping God now and just crying out to him, coming to Jesus in humility and faith, presenting our requests to him, saying, Jesus, if it's your will you heal? You've given us authority to heal. You filled us with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we long for your healing. If it doesn't happen first time, as we saw with that blind man, then we're going to keep on pressing in. Week after week, time after time. We're just longing for breakthrough, for healing, aren't we? Should we do that? Anne, do you want to come back? Should we stand together? Just hold our hands out in submission to God. If you feel comfortable, let's just take a look at them. That's normally during the week, they're busy peeling potatoes or cleaning or mending cars, or I don't know if we have any open heart surgeons here, or whatever it is you do during the normal course of your week. But these hands are hands that God has told us to lay on other people, that the flow of the Holy Spirit can come through us just as it does with Jesus, and we can see people healed. Just as that woman presented herself to Jesus and needed healing, we're just going to start there, right there. There are many of you that need to know God's healing touch this morning. And if you're able, I'm just going to ask you just to place your own hands on whatever it is that needs healing, whether it's a stiff neck or a back or an eye or an ear or an arm. And we're just going to ask God for healing. Do it now, just if you're able. Just place your hands where it hurts the most. Jesus, we thank you for all these accounts that we've looked at this morning of your healing touch. And we've got many testimonies in this room of how you have brought healing. And we know that just one touch from the King changes everything. And we ask you for that touch this morning. Jesus, will you send your Holy Spirit right now? Will you come? Will you fill this place? Fill this room? Will you move amongst us? Jesus, you gave us authority to heal. We've looked at that in previous weeks. You've told us, you've commanded us to go and heal the sick. And Jesus, we want new stories that bring glory to you of healing in this room. So for my friends here, I just speak to sickness and disease with the authority of heaven. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Sickness, go. Pain, go. In the beautiful name of Jesus. I know that there are many in this room that have hearing problems. That's not a word of knowledge. That's just something I know. I pray, I speak to deaf ears right now and say, be opened in the name of Jesus. Deaf ears, be opened in the name of Jesus. Tinnitus, go in the name of Jesus. Eardrums, be restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to keep pressing in. If you're able to test what it is that you are praying for and seeking God for, just encourage you to do that now. We are looking for testimonies of healing this morning that bring glory to Jesus.